League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome back to Ruthless Aggression. I am Pierce. Rob and Chris is with me always. We are talking Royal Rumble 2007, finishing up the month of January. And we're going to talk a little bit about NXT Vengeance Day. Now, I didn't watch Vengeance Day yet, fully plan on it. And the only reason I fully plan on it is I was working while I was watching all you guys tweet about the opener. And all I gotta say about the opener is I just watched the highlights of it. I am so happy that Dijak is back to being Dijak.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking about that, like, during the match. You know, they really probably should have found some for this guy on the main roster, but, like, this is also just a really good way to use him, I guess. And, I am glad that he's back and not kind of going through the retribution stuff, which I know, you know, the Thunderdome stuff, we don't really all treat it as like that actually happened and, you know, what were they supposed to do? But retribution was particularly bad.
Well, here's my thing with the Thunderdome and rating it is just like, it's never going to be a period of time that I'm going to go back and rewatch.
Oh yeah.
Right.
I don't think I'm going to hold anything up in certain like high esteemed honor from that era. But the downsides of it are easy to spot because it was a terrible period for people anyway. So of course the shit with retribution is going to look terrible and among other things.
Yeah.
But everyone who was in that stable who is doing something better.
That's true.
But, you know, it's more than just the retribution shit.
Yeah.
When you strip away the character, when you change the character entirely, the mentality of that changer, that character changes. Or that wrestler. So Dijak goes from being this, 6'7", 6'8" dude who can do so just crazy shit in the ring. He can act like a big dude, but then wrestle with the little guys like he did with Wesley yesterday. And he turned him into just this bland, just big dude is what was under the Vince. And it's just it makes me so happy because there is that talent with Dijak, and hopefully after Mania, this should just be like a small little rehab stint in NXT. Obviously, I ain't watching, but I hope this is a small rehab stint in NXT, and then Triple H plucks him and puts him back on the main roster, because he is that talented. Like, just in those little clips, I'm sitting there watching him like, yeah, that's the shit. That's the shit I miss. You know, you stick him in there with the Gunther, or another big ass dude, or even, you know, some of the more athletic guys you have in there with Ali, obviously there's something to play off right there. You're going to get some kick ass matches. That was the one little bit that I did see that I was very impressed by was Wesley and Dijak. Wesley is fucking amazing too.
Yeah, and it was a really good choice to open to, you know, returning to fans and stuff. And
that's right.
And really, yeah, and, you know, the North American title's kind of been the opener since it's been around. And it's kind of crazy. It's been around for 5 years already, too. But, you know, and I'm looking forward to kind of, I assume they'll do kind of a multi-man North American title match at Stand and Deliver like they've done the past few years.
It's kind of their thing.
Do
that.
So, I mean, you could get, you know, those two in there. Axiom could be in there. You know, they got a lot of guys who would really be fun in that setting. And, you know, these
Dragon
two.
Dragon
Lee. Yeah, Dragon Lee.
They do him there like they did with Ricochet and...
Yep,
other people.
That'd be good. But yeah, no, it was an incredible opener. And I think probably the high point of the show, but there's a couple other matches, one in particular that I think surpassed a lot of expectations too, which was
Let's go. We have new women's tag team champions, Casey Catanzaro and Katie Carter dropped, or I shouldn't say Katie Carter, Katana Chance, formerly known as Casey Catanzaro, dropped to Fallon Henley and Kiana James. They did so in dirty fashion. Kiana held down the boots of Caden, I believe it was, for the roll-up, so they ended their long reign as champions. I think I don't mind necessarily a new direction. I'm always down for one, so I don't mind this title change. I think the titles themselves, they were Katana and Caden, they held them. They have done a good job, but I think that they've been running in place a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think the good thing now is that with Alba and Ila Dawn becoming a unit, they're going to rise up and be a tag team. You still have Katana and Caden around for now. Fallon and Kiana are going to rise up. I think there's a case to be made that their tag division is budding and it's going to get better.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily have a problem with that. It was a fine match, I think, for, you know, what they were trying to do. Yeah. I think the crowd definitely didn't know that Katana and Caden come through the crowd. Mm-hmm. That was kind of funny, but
yeah.
So that match was fine.
It was all right. The 2 out of 3 falls match with Carmelo Hayes and Apollo Crews. People thought it was a little weird because Carmelo just won, you know, he swept him, but like he's the guy that is, you know, and we saw at the end of the show going to challenge for, you know, the NXT championship. He's the one you need to elevate there. So it was a little confusing to be like, oh, why did he win, you know, 2 straight falls over Apollo Crews, who's like 43 or whatever. Yeah. And he's good. I mean, he's just not going to factor into the plans.
Right.
That feels like people are expecting the usual from a 2 out of 3 falls match, and they didn't, so they didn't know how to react. Mm-hmm. I have no problem with Carmelo Hayes decisively beating somebody on the way to his biggest match of his career against Braun, because it's for the title, and Braun's been champion since fucking a year ago.
It's going to be an interesting match to watch in Dallas. I know that much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or Los Angeles.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's the match that everyone's kind of had circled since, like, this NXT 2.0 thing started.
Exactly, yeah.
So you know, like, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, Commander Aziz or whatever his name is, Dabakato coming back and
beating up
Crews, that was kind of a lame way to do it, I guess. So I get that point of it, but, like, he's also apparently not 43, he's 35, so. But still, Carmelo's
dude, definitely wild when we're 43. But I understand the beard makes you look a lot older than you actually are. And I mean, hey, I'm just glad Apollo's getting TV time, and I hope he continues to get TV time, hopefully not on NXT pretty soon. Mm-hmm. But he's done a solid job of like going back down and doing what he needs to do, not only to be on TV, but then to elevate the next. You know, this is all just to elevate Carmelo Hayes, because within the framework of NXT, you're not focused on Apollo Crews. Carmelo Hayes is going to be the next one you're ready to put Bron Baker on Monday nights. So, you know, I totally understand the logic of that. I don't understand people, you know, getting all bent out of shape about it, unless you just really like Apollo Crews. And then, hey, I get you.
Yeah, that's fair.
That, you know, that's totally fair. But, you know, this is Carmelo's time to shine, and he's not missing. Just ask Carmella.
So then we had a fatal 4-way tag for the NXT tag team titles. The New Day, who probably felt like this was, who like Apollo probably, we're very comfortable with this because it probably just felt like a house show for them because of the, you know, the about like 5,000 people in attendance at the big arena, which I must say, by the way, that was missed from NXT the last 3 years. I think that anybody can admit that big arenas have always made that show feel bigger.
Really
and
tired
better.
Of Orlando.
And yeah, I mean, there was obviously nothing they could do for the first 2 years or so.
Yeah.
But well, it's obvious that, and this just will go, I'll round out my point at the end of this show, but this is so needed for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So needed for everybody. The wrestlers, the perception of the brand and whatnot, the developmental brand, they just for teaching purposes. You can't get big arena experience 1,000%. Any other way.
Yeah.
1,000%. This is a confidence booster.
Yeah.
This is a teaching moment for them. How to work in front of an actual audience. Yeah, this isn't Raw. This isn't SmackDown. This is a little bit half of that. But it's a lot bigger than what you're dealing with in the performance center.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them kids are going to have to learn that a lot sooner than later. So yeah, I didn't even realize that. Yeah, that was the first show back.
Yeah, since
Dallas, right?
Since Dallas, but that was part of Mania Week. This is their first
Mania Week pay per view. Yeah,
Portland.
That's a while ago. Yeah.
Three fucking years. Goodness, we've been in this loop for so long. 3 fucking years. That was the last pay per view or the last event they had. No. There was an Elimination Chamber.
But
regardless, we're finally back. And the 2.0 kids being able to get that is so that fucking important. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They've missed out on a lot of development.
Yeah, that's one thing too. Like, I think that's something that people are forgetting or whatever when they're saying with some cases at least, but they should be called up right away. And it's like, okay, well, they're playing so behind from previous NXT classes, it's not even fun. They just started going back on the road in on the coconut loop within the last 6 months.
Yeah,
that's a lot. Everyone on the roster, they went through all that.
Chris, to be fair though. Not to be fair, but to be honest with you, you said they're behind. They're behind. Because when you think about it, the mission of NXT deviated from what it was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. So they were already behind on that front of getting the new kids ready to work the style that they want to work. Then the pandemic came along and it rocked them a whole nother way. So
And then they got the cuts.
So they're making up for so much lost time right now. And maybe now we're finally on the path to seeing the homegrown kids, not the indie kids, but the homegrown kids finally start to show that growth, because it's felt very single A for a minute.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Fatal 4-Way Tag, New Day, they defended against Gallus, Pretty Deadly, and Chase University. Chase University, which was very over in North Carolina, which was nice to see.
Yeah, they were.
Chase is from there. Gallus, they wound up winning. I thought this match was fantastic. Very chaotic. A little bit different from the usual Fatal 4-Way Tag formula that we're kind of used to.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought all the teams here did a really good job.
Yeah, I thought it was good. Gallus is kind of the team that I least expected to win, but
yes, I agree.
Whatever. It's fine. I thought New Day could maybe hold them and, help kind of fill the WrestleMania paper or the, stand and deliver or whatever.
Might have gotten the call back.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Mania season, guys.
I don't,
you need your job.
Have we gotten any good news on E lately?
Not really.
I've been seeing it around.
Yeah, I think it's mostly just they're still waiting for it to. I know they were hanging out a couple weeks ago. All of them were in Australia a couple days before the Rumble. So that was fun. They all got to visit and all that. And I think he was in San Antonio, I believe for the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
But
yeah, he was definitely. Well, he was on. No, he was. He did Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, yeah.
Wheel of Fortune with Bailey and Liv.
Yeah. So he's around. He just,
they did two episodes? Oh, shit.
Yeah, they're doing several episodes that week, I believe.
Yeah,
Wheel of Fortune.
That's pretty cool.
For Mania, so that'd be fun.
That is hella cool. So me and my girl have been watching Celebrity Jeopardy a lot lately, and I'm sitting here yo, what wrestlers would kill on Celebrity Jeopardy?
Woods.
Yeah, Woods would be.
Woods would be excellent on Celebrity Jeopardy. That's a good one.
Danielson probably. But he's not there anymore.
I'm trying to think of someone with degrees upon degrees.
Honestly, Cody would probably be pretty good at it because he knows all the nerdy stuff, but also, clearly Cody is up on his history.
Random encyclopedia of knowledge. Mm-hmm. So that's a good one. I'll ask y'all. Obviously, I didn't watch it. The controversial decision is possibly not having Grayson Waller win, right? And I'm saying this as somebody that doesn't like Grayson Waller. He's been on a little bit of a hot streak right now. So now that he's lost, what the fuck does he do?
Yeah,
that's a good question. I think they'll probably need to get him somebody who he can get some good heat off of, because that's just what he excels at. He's such a good prick. He obviously gets the business entirely. You saw last night the headdress that he wore was Scott Steiner's.
He did.
So he knows how to really get under people's skin. I'm I'm curious because there's not really a babyface right now in NXT who he can match up with in that degree, unless they decided to, you know, have him pull sort of like a Tyler Breeze 2015 and lose to Dragon Lee in his first match. But yeah, that because they put him in such a high role that I obviously figured they were going to do Braun and Mello for Stand and Deliver, so I figured he was going to lose. But it will be interesting to see what they do with him, because he does have a lot of good momentum right now.
Yeah, but like the thing is, you know, you look at some of the heels that have lost to Braun, like Joe Gacy kind of disappeared for a while. You know, you hope it doesn't happen to
Gacy's.
I mean, he's doing
disappeared. He's doing his thing right now with his faction, but yeah.
That's fair. I think with him,
he's a lot easier to kind of bend around after that, because the basis of Gacy's feud was, he like kidnapped his dad or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This was just like,
that's true.
I'm just a trash talk to this punk and I'm going to get you pissed off.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the tag match was fine. Like, I don't really like Gallus that much, but whatever. I am kind of hoping that the Creeds have the titles sooner rather than later.
Fair.
Women's title match. Very good. Roxanne Perez against Gigi Dolin and JC Jane. It was a triple threat, but they kind of did it like Undertaker and Kane and Stone Cold in 1998.
Good reprise there. This was excellent to me.
Yeah, you liked it a lot.
I liked it a lot, and I will say that to the point before about everyone needing this, this match was a prime example of a consistent point that I think has been going on in WWE for the last few years, even as they were dealing with the differences in directions for NXT and what they wanted to be. The women just get it. They have it. And for this match, for these three, who have, to my knowledge at least, haven't worked a really big arena show before. I think Gigi and JC might have been at Stand and Deliver last year in Dallas, but I think that they worked a pre-show, if I recall correctly, against Dakota and Raquel.
I think so.
And so they didn't really get that big of a moment. They did here, so did Roxanne, and I think they killed it. This match, if Roxanne, it's weird because obviously Roxanne beat Mandy, and Mandy still has sort of a connection to the Four Horsewomen era and whatnot, but I was trying to think to myself, these three feel like the people so far deviated from that era and from the era of Black and Gold with, you know, Bianca and Rhea and Shayna and Dakota and Tegan and all that other stuff. They're moving on to this next era of women's wrestling, and it's just as good.
Mm-hmm.
That tells me that the process is processing. Everyone is doing their jobs well. And also, the people on the main roster who might be lower on the card than others, listen, I hope you hear those footsteps.
Yeah.
They're coming.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming, and Roxanne is going to take the entire company by storm at this rate. She's awesome. I love the top rope pop rocks, the way that she finished both of them off.
Mm-hmm.
She threw Gigi off. She came off the top rope, made her look like a beast, even though, you know, obviously the size differential. Doesn't matter, though. She's going to find a way to win. I'm curious now just to see what they do for her for Stand and Deliver, because there's a couple ways that they can go.
Probably Cora again.
It depends. Well, Cora per herself is apparently going through something now that they're pivoting with Lyra doing an open challenge for Valentina, even though she was supposed to feud with Cora. I don't know if that means that she's taking a break. She is dealing with mental health
issues. No, I get it. I mean, it's 2 months away, though.
It is, but you don't know how long the breaks are going to be. It could be Stratton. It could be. I mean, I don't think they're not going to push Soruka that quickly, but she's obviously next. I would say I could see them doing Stratton versus Roxanne at Stand and Deliver if Cora isn't ready. Cora Roxanne feels like the way to go with it if she's good to go.
Yeah,
but obviously if her mind's not there, her mind's not there.
Yeah, that's fair. Main event we talked about a little bit. Bron Breakker defeated Grayson Waller, steel cage match, no escape. Pinfall submission only in the cage. A lot of people were confused about that because, you know, they've only watched WWE for the past however long.
But also, my thing with that is, why are you confused? They're running two cage matches within 48 hours. They had to differentiate one of them.
Yeah.
Why not do it with this one?
Yeah. No, I mean, I thought the match was fine. You know, the result was never really in doubt, and I'm glad that they set up Braun and Carmelo at the end. I'm looking forward to that.
Someone who is more in the know than me, Braun's shoulder looked really bad last night. Did they say anything about that today?
Yeah, I haven't seen anything because, yeah, he did look like he was favoring the one arm a little bit.
Yeah. But,
yeah, I haven't
like, after seen... that one, like, belly-to-belly or whatever, he, like, came down on it hard.
I haven't seen...
When he did the first spear, it looked like his arm was just, like, dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't really seen anything yet. Shawn Michaels didn't bring it up in the post
well, if he show bring it scrum up, or whatever. Scrum, so. Then I would doubt that he is going to sing.
Yeah.
I think the larger point there is bubble wrap that dude.
Mm-hmm.
Keep him preserved for the next 2 months. I don't care if he never wrestles again if they'll stand and deliver at this point. You need to protect your meal tickets.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At some point.
Yeah.
Before we go back to... God, I'm losing sense of my years. It's been a long 3 years. If you have not gotten a sense of, like, me across all of these shows, it's been a really long 3 years of this fucking pandemic. Before we go back to 2007 and finish off the month of January, I want to talk about what's happening at the top of the card. My girl has gotten... She's a mark now. It's amazing to see how in a year I flipped her into a mark. But she's captivated by the storyline with the Bloodline and Sami Zayn. And we're in Puerto Rico last week, you know, and before the Rumble, I'm trying to lay out, not mansplaining, but trying to lay out, like, you know, what we usually know about professional wrestling and where things go. And how Sammy and Roman were going one way, and they were trying to do the Cody Rhodes at the Rumble thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she sat there, and she, you know, she was more interested in seeing Sami Zayn win the Rumble and go on to challenge at WrestleMania, and completely understood it. And after everything happened on Saturday night, I started to understand, you know, why folks were so passionate about Sammy getting that spot over Kevin Owens. Not to the point where, like, turning on Cody, because that was never going to happen. But now that we're here, and then on top of that, we've thrown Jay into the mix. First off, this is theater. This is absolute theater, which we are seeing on Friday nights. But now we've thrown Jay into the mix, and it's really complicated the world title picture. Before, like, I start to rattle off some other, like, possibilities for Mania, I want to stick on this. We're sitting here recording this Sunday, February 5th. What do you think is the main event title match at WrestleMania?
Roman Cody.
Yeah, I still think it's Roman.
I think Roman Cody main events night 2, and I think that Kevin and Sammy versus the Usos for the tag team titles main events night 1, and Kevin and Sammy win the tag titles. Kevin becomes a Grand Slam champion. And I say that because this is the biggest story in the company, so they will take advantage of that by putting them in the main event both nights. It's unfortunate, I think, for the women, but I mean,
you would rather see that tag match play out, them beat the Usos to win the tag titles.
Yes.
In the main event on night 1.
Yes. 100%.
Yeah, I think so too. Like, I think, you know, they're obviously doing Sammy and Roman in Montreal, and that's going to be an incredible atmosphere.
Yeah.
Listen, I get where people are coming from. I think for the most part, you know, no one's doing it in bad faith or to kind of knock Cody down, but you know, you got to play and you got to stick with it, and the story's never really been like Sammy needs to beat Roman to win the title at WrestleMania. Like, he hasn't really been propped up like that.
Like, now it is, but now that was only because there's a reason for it.
Exactly. And, like, there was a little bit of booing, I guess, when Roman mentioned Cody in his promo, but Cody wasn't there. I'm not going to, you know, well,
my main point is, like, with the boos, it's like,
you never know exactly what they're booing.
Yeah.
That too. And also, just like, I can't imagine if you live through the John Cena era. You think some boos are going to change things?
Right.
No, that's true.
Yeah. They never changed course then. They're not going to change course now. Or even Roman.
And to be honest, isn't the point of Cody to boo him sometimes when he goes ultra baby face?
Yeah, that's true too.
Like,
I mean,
you know, it's not the first time that Cody's just been. And I'm not saying that he's too much to digest, but like, you know, understand if that's the point. But like, that's the role of the baby face sometimes. Like, getting my girl, yeah. I'm sitting there watching the one night stand match against RVD, mm-hmm. and you know, obviously seeing his baby face as a character, but completely playing a heel role. And completely yeah. leaning into some heel tropes because he has to, because that's the setting. So like, you know, this isn't, you know, saying Cody is ever going to like fully turn heel on a crowd, or a crowd is going to completely turn on Cody. But Cody's used that to his advantage at certain points of his run over the last 5, 6, 7 years. So it wouldn't be shocking if that's something that we see coming down the line, you know, over the road to WrestleMania. But so you guys both have it being Cody and Roman as the main event proper on Sunday. So do you believe Cody wins?
Yes.
Yeah. That part I do, yeah. I mean, that would surprise me. If it's not him,
I don't know who it is. Mm-hmm. Especially if he gets through Sin, which he's going. Mm-hmm. So I think, and especially if they're not going to split the titles, I don't mind, personally. That's fine. Give it to Cody. That's fine. Yeah, I genuinely think Cody's going to win, because I don't think anyone else at this point is going. They could, because just from the simple perspective of, okay, they've almost gone 3 full years with this, what's another couple months? But I think in the end, he will not have any titles after me. The Bloodline will be completely titleless.
So I think we're in line on everything but the main event. I didn't consider them being main event until you guys mentioned it, the tag team match. But like, now that we know that Rhea's challenging Charlotte again, she's mm-hmm. got that beef going. The Bianca situation is very muddied, because like, you could do, you know, Bianca versus literally anybody in the singles. You can do,
she's probably gonna, Bailey, Becky. I bet she probably faces Asuka.
I think she probably faces Asuka in a single, but that also leaves Bailey and Becky to be doing what? God knows what. So
you
like,
do a gimmick match. The third one, Monday, you can have one of them escape the cage. That was the whole basis during the.
Did you say Bailey. Monday?
Yeah, do
you would not have them at WrestleMania at all.
Yeah, they can stretch it. Why not? They stretched Drew Corbin for 3 months last year. They can stretch Bailey Becky.
No. I'm asking. You wouldn't have Bailey or Becky at WrestleMania at all.
No, you have them in a gimmick match, I mean.
Oh, no. You said Monday, and I'm like, wait, Monday?
No, Monday, do the cage, like they're going
this,
to.
This tomorrow, then, Monday. Okay.
Yeah.
And okay. Then build off that, and then go to Mania and do a big non-title match between two of them, because they both earned it.
And you...
I'm not up for... I don't think it's up for discussion for me. I don't want to not see Bayley Russell in front of a crowd at WrestleMania for the first
exactly.
time. WrestleMania 35. She's not wrestling in front of a crowd in 4 years at Mania, like, for God's sake.
Right, that's why I was like, wait, are you serious?
Yeah. That was confusing, my fault. But yeah, no, I would Monday get through that and then build towards that. But yeah, I think Bianca is going to face Asuka. I think Asuka's going to win that chamber. I think Liv's going to get something big. I don't know what it is, but I think she's going to, because she keeps getting featured in these high-profile matches. She keeps getting put in enviable positions that she's no doubt earned. But yeah, Rhea picking Charlotte, I think, is... Pierce, I don't know what your thoughts about that is, but I personally think it's a good idea.
Listen, I might not care for the match, but I understand why.
Yeah. I honestly... It's weird, because I've... For me, before we go into the 07 Rumble, I've obviously made it known that, like, the iterations of Charlotte beforehand weren't all that interesting to me. But so far... She's won me over. I mean, I haven't really been that disinterested in what she's doing. I guess it really is just all about a new vision for everybody. And the stuff with Sonya, surprisingly, the other night worked for me. Okay. So I'm looking forward to Charlotte Rhea, because I think that does have the most story. And I think that for me personally, what that means to me is that Bianca is probably going to be the longest reigning Raw Women's Champion at some point in the very near future.
I agree.
If they are willing to move Rhea over to keep a big blockade away from her, then she's still one of three people I think that can beat her for that title, but she's gone. Charlotte is on SmackDown, and the only other person I think that can beat Bianca for that title right now is Io, and she still needs months of build to get there, which I think she's going to get.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
So Bianca, I don't see it the way that some people do. I think she's going to beat Asuka at Mania.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I love Asuka, and this is no disrespect to Asuka. I like the character direction that Asuka's coming back with, but you're not having Asuka Bianca at WrestleMania for Bianca to lose.
Mm-mm.
And for Bianca to lose this year-long title reign. How long? What's the record right now for Raw Women's?
Becky,
right?
It's definitely Becky.
Yeah.
Becky held it for a little bit over a year. So
yeah, because
she won at Mania and then gave it up.
373.
Yeah.
373. Bianca right now is at 308.
Yeah.
She's going to probably torch
that. So she's going to pass that before Mania. Yeah, she'll come close at least.
She's going to torch that record.
Yeah. So let her get the record. It makes no fucking sense to stop her from getting it.
And for the record, Becky is recognized at 398. So she's held in for 373, but it's recognized for 398. I'm guessing that has to do with like taping
stuff. Right, because when the show aired, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
We were in the pandemic.
Yeah, that was probably like, yeah.
Potential matches that we could see at Mania. What about this rumored triple threat for the IC title with Gunther, Drew Mack, and Sheamus?
It would be very good. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm kind of would rather see Brock and Gunther, but
same.
I
would like to stipulate, if you're doing Brock Gunther, don't make it for the IC title.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Right. Get the title off of Gunther, because there's two things here that I think that are a big problem here. One, why would Brock, after 20 years of ignoring it, go after the IC title?
Mm-hmm.
Two, if you happen to book Brock to win that match, he's your Intercontinental Champion who doesn't show up all the time, and then you need someone to be a beast to beat him. Yeah. That's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to have Gunther beat him, just do it right away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't roll it out to sleep.
That's why, like, I'm more for doing that match. If not at a SummerSlam, do it at just like a regular pay-per-view where that can be the main event, and you can main event with that, and Gunther can get a big win mm-hmm. that nobody else could. By the way, excellent how they played Gunther at the Rumble. God, he's gonna be earmarked for some big shit. We know where Brock's going for WrestleMania, so I'm excited for an actual Brock versus Lashley match. We haven't gotten an actual match between the two of them, so
yeah,
I'm excited for that. AJ and Finn, or Edge and Finn.
Yeah, Finn and Edge.
I don't know where Styles really...
Well, it depends on his foot.
That too, but also I really just don't know where he fits.
They could come back. Him and Gallows and Anderson could feud against the Hurt Business. I don't know if it'll be a Mania or, you know, start up after Mania, but they haven't really done a lot of AJ and Lashley stuff. And
they haven't, but...
You know, they're reforming the Hurt Business, and obviously Gallows and Anderson are there, so it makes a lot of sense, you know.
That'd be fine.
But yeah, I think Finn and Edge will be...
Well, it depends on if he's available. I guess if Bad Bunny's available for Mania, Judgment Day could have like three matches, to be honest. They're going to definitely have two.
I mean...
Dom will probably rest.
To be honest with you, Lo, like... Because I'm assuming you're putting Bad Bunny with Judgment Day, right?
I would do... If I had the pencil, I would do Finn Edge, Rhea Charlotte... Obviously, those two are pretty much a given. One is definitely happening. And then I would do Dom and Priest against Rey and Bad Bunny.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Only
if Bad Bunny can be procured. I don't know if he has a tour coming up or any dates.
I think he does, but it might just be Rey against Dom.
Yeah, mm-hmm. which is fine, honestly. And I think Dom is... improved dramatically for me. I owe him an apology. He's hilarious.
I would say, like, if I was WWE, I wouldn't want to miss the boat on sticking Rey Mysterio and Bad Bunny together. Because, mm-hmm. like, you have the biggest Puerto Rican star since J-Lo and one of the greatest Mexican wrestlers of all time in L.A.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be pretty fucking rad. I know they can do that in Philly next year, but that'd be fucking rad. Where else do we have to go? I don't think we have anywhere else but 2007.
All right. Yeah, we got 2 weeks. Gonna finish out January.
Let's finish out the month of January. What a beautiful January.
Top five movies, down to five is Freedom Riders, down to four is Pursuit of Happiness, down to three is Dreamgirls, down to two is Night at the Museum, debuting at number one is Stomp the Yard.
Stomp, yeah. I'm not gonna sit here and rant on Stomp the Yard, but Stomp the Yard, you know how folks got mad at that movie that had Ana de Armas in it? Well, mm-hmm. It didn't have Ana de Armas in it, but it made you think it did. That Stomp the Yard for me with Chris Brown.
Top five songs, up to number five is Say It Right, down to four is Smack That, down to three is Fergalicious, up to two is I Wanna Love You, and staying at number one is Irreplaceable. Move to Raw from Bossier City, Louisiana. John Cena's up in the show. Got a contract signing with Umaga and Coach is in charge of it. Hopefully everything goes well. So Umaga comes to the ring and Coach says it can't just be an ordinary match. It has to be special. And Coach is letting Armando pick the match type, which isn't really fair, but, you know, whatever. He picks the last man standing match and Cena says he'd have to be crazy to sign up for it. But the good news is he is crazy. He's also full of surprises. So he jumps over the table and starts fighting Umaga and throws him into the steps and then gets back in and FUs Armando through the table. So it's a good segment. Really got the...
Yep. And then we had a tag match. Jeff Hardy and Maria defeated Nitro and Melina. Vince was trying to call Donald Trump. His secretary would not put him through. Vince said that he needed to talk to him ASAP and left him a message. No joy. Rated RKO were on the stage. They warned everyone to not come help Shawn Michaels tonight to prove their point. They gave Jim Duggan a concerto. Great. Also, Ric Flair defeating Kenny Dykstra with his feet on the ropes. Hopefully this shit is done and over with soon.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels arrived at the building later, and Todd Grisham told him that Rated RKO made an example of Jim Duggan already. Said he's sorry to hear that, but he can handle things on his own tonight. And Flair told Shawn that he's there to help if Shawn needs it.
Yes. Vince got a letter from Trump about... you know, last week's stuff with Rosie, and wanted to call Trump and address it. Coach starts discussing The Apprentice, which is a show that he enjoys. Vince goes to the ring and kind of talks about Trump for a little bit, and then says that he can do his own Miss USA pageant and has Tori come out as Miss USA. And Carlito comes out and says it was all stupid and not cool, and the skit last week was stupid and not cool. People would rather see people fight on Raw. Vince says it's a good idea, so Carlito's going to fight Great Khali, and then Khali beats him down as Tori just watches and cries, and it's not good. We have two more months of it, plus the Trump stuff afterwards. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not great.
Nope.
Mickey defeats Victoria to retain the Women's Championship, which good match. They did what they could there. Chris Masters here for the Master Lock Challenge, and Ron Simmons answers it this time, and he was about to break it, but Super Crazy comes out and attacks Chris Masters, so Master Lock remains unbroken.
Mm-hmm.
WrestleMania Recall, Rob Van Dam wins Money in the Bank at WrestleMania 22. Fun moment.
Yes.
Someone has attacked Ric Flair backstage. No one knows who it is. It's probably rated RKO, yeah.
JTG beat Shelton Benjamin. Shelton had the advantage for most of the match, but Chad tripped him and JTG rolled him up. Sounds like Shelton needs some friends. Sean is fired up about the Ric Flair injury, and then he super kicked Todd Grisham, and then we got our handicap match. Rated RKO ordered all DX signs and posters to be destroyed. Sean tried to fight them off, bled. Match ended. Edge hit Sean with a chair and then set him up with a concerto, but Sean got out of it and was able to use a sledgehammer, and then Randy attacked Edge and he fled. So, yeah. Or I should say, he attacked Randy and then he fled.
Yes. And then we move on to ECW from Little Rock on January 16th. Kelly Kelly's back. Her dancing segment's back next week and she'll have some friends with her. Matt Stryker comes out and says that women belong in the home and goes and talks about some other bullshit. And CM Punk comes out and defeats Matt Stryker with help from Kelly Kelly.
They got Matt Stryker is no 1999 Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah.
He's the woman hating.
They got like 12 minutes and it's not ideal. Then we get the debut of the alpha male Marcus Corvan, who you may know as Monty Brown. famously misused in TNA and then would go on to be famously misused in WWE for the 6 months that he's there. But he's there for now, does the pounce. Shout out to Don West.
Yes.
And Corbin wins with the Fujiwara armbar. So good start, but, you know, they'll just end up misusing him as well. And then he'll stop wrestling in like 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
WrestleMania recall, Roddy Piper attacks Morton Downey with a fire extinguisher. Elijah Burke defeats Sandman, and then we get RVD against Test against Lashley for the ECW World Championship. Not very cohesive. They're all just kind of doing their own stuff, but RVD did do Rolling Thunder on both of them, which is pretty cool. RVD frog splashes Test, but Test rolls out of the ring, and then Lashley hits the spear and the Dominator to retain. And Test hits Lashley with the title after the match, so I guess their feud's going to continue.
Indeed.
Can't wait.
Yeah. Between ECW and SmackDown, we have some releases to talk about. The Gemini got released, Tony Marmaluke, The Bashams, Al Snow, Sylvester Turkey, Jazz, C.W. Anderson, and Tatanka are all not with the company anymore. So
I would say that's a good cleaning.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a lot of kind of ECW lower card people and, like, Velocity guys. And no one really, like, Tatanka was on TV probably more than he should have been, so.
Way more than he should
have. All right.
Move to SmackDown from Little Rock, Arkansas. Mr. Kennedy opened the show. He set the Rumble. Over the past 2 weeks, 15 others were involved in a beat the clock challenge, and he beat them all. Kennedy wants to know what happened to the Undertaker. He beat his opponent in 507, but he couldn't beat. But the Undertaker couldn't beat a reality TV star. So Teddy Long came out and said that Kennedy will face the Undertaker tonight, and if Taker wins, he will be added to the Kennedy Batista match.
Mm.
Matt Hardy wrestled Joey Mercury. Mercury was very physical throughout because he's mad at Matt Hardy for what happened in Armageddon to his face. And Matt caught him with a backslide for the win. Nitro came out and beat Matt up. They pulled up the padding and DDT'd Matt on the concrete. Brutal. Kind of sends the message these two teams will be tagging against each other at the Rumble in 2 days.
They will be.
Miz then bragged to Ashley and Layla about his performance against The Undertaker, and then Kane showed up behind him and Miz freaked out.
Yes.
Taylor, Regal, and MVP, Dave Taylor, of course, Wayne Regal and MVP, beat the trio of London, Kendrick, and Vito, which I think that if they didn't have Vito there, that would actually be a pretty decent match.
Yeah. Chavo and Memoir in action for the U.S. title, no disqualification match. Chavo does Three Amigos, and one lands on the title and one lands on a chair, which is pretty cool. Chavo went for the frog splash, and Benoit moved, and Chavo hit the chair. Then Benoit put him in the sharpshooter, so he retained the title. Batista's going to be ringside for Kennedy and Undertaker tonight. Jillian tells Kennedy to go give Teddy Long a piece of his mind, and Teddy Long basically just kicks him out of his office. Deuce and Domino are here. They're a fun team with a great theme song. They beat two jobbers. Yeah, they're fine. They're fun, you know. They really... got into the gimmick.
I like Cherry. I really like Cherry. I thought Cherry was the cherry on top of, you know, a vision for this character or these characters. And she was what made this work, this whole pull it off. Because you got to have her in the roller skates, in the 50s get up. You know, she really sets the tone of what these greasers are supposed to be doing. And, you know, it's a silly 2007 gimmick, but it's such a good, silly 2007 gimmick.
Yeah, exactly. Kane picks up a win against The Miz. Booker wants to know why he hasn't gotten his rematch against Batista yet, but he said it's fine. He'll just win the Royal Rumble because he's a resilient king. Teddy Long's going to help him. Next week, there will be an over-the-top rope challenge on SmackDown. Booker will be part of it, kind of tune up for the Royal Rumble. Then we get Undertaker against Kennedy. Batista's on commentary. After about 10 minutes, Kennedy goes out and cheap shots Batista. Batista comes in and takes Kennedy out, so he wins via disqualification, and Undertaker is not in the match.
He's not.
It's a real good finish.
It is a good finish, I agree.
That was the end of the first week.
It was. Let's go over sports now. So the Sunday that preceded was Conference Championship Sunday. It was a big day, so that would mean that the Chicago Bears.
Rob, where were you?
I was
where were you?
Yeah, I was at my cousin's house watching the basement. We were all over there, and it was kind of weird because, like, I think everyone was pretty confident, surprisingly. Very confident. Like, you know, it's the Saints coming. They play indoors, and it's, you know, this bad weather, and, you know, the Bears can handle them. And really, for the most part, they did. Like, it was close for a little bit, but Reggie Bush did that flip into the end zone, and that just kind of turned everything around.
That was that was the Michael Jordan, and then I took it personal. It became personal for me for the Chicago Bears, and from that point on, like, just mauled the Saints. It was close up until the fourth quarter, and then that's when I want to say it was like a Bernard Berrian touchdown. Then Thomas Jones had, like, switched directions to run it in, and then Cedric Benson capped it off. And it was just the score didn't indicate a close game, but it was definitely close until the fourth quarter. And it was definitely like, please don't fuck this up. You're so much better than them. Don't fuck this up.
Yeah.
And listen, I sit here in Philadelphia a week before the Eagles are set to go to the Super Bowl. And the reason I'm able to enjoy this run for the Eagles and for their fans is because, like, I sit here and have conversations. For example, I'm in Puerto Rico last week for the conference championship game. We just down the street from where we're staying, it's a bar, and there's like 10, 15 Eagles fans in there. One of the guy is from Philly. He's from West Philly. He looks like Michael Clark Duncan. He's telling me a story. He was 11 years old when they went to the title game in 80. His son was 11 when they went in 04 and they lost both times. And his son was at some event. The family was at some event with Jeffrey Lurie, who owns the Eagles. And son talked to Lurie and was like, hey, you owe me. And you know, the family is just like trying to apologize profusely. And Jeffrey Lurie is like, no. I like that energy. You know, I do owe you. I want that passion out of this fan base because, you know, promise you, I'm going to get you that championship. And it took a while, but they fought to get him that championship. And I hear that story constantly around Philly of interactions with Lurie, with Howie Roseman, the dedication that gets put in from top to bottom and this organization to serve the fans. And I see that, and I respect it so much coming from a city that's so similar football-wise. I respect it because I look at my organization, I'm like, damn, I want to feel that. I want to feel that, and this is, you know, for all the Chicago organizations, every single organization in Chicago puts profit over the people. But specifically with the Bears, because that is the crown jewel of the city of Chicago, and it hasn't been that since 2007. We haven't felt that goodwill or you know, the organization pumping that love back that we do. So I sit here and I'm here, you know, as we go on to the Super Bowl. And finally, it seems like the Bears as an organization are turning a leaf for the first time in those 16 years. And I just pray that now with George finally having some competent people in the office, maybe that love will start to be pumped back into the Bears.
Yeah. Hopefully, man. Like, that's really all you can hope for, because we're kind of overdue for a sustained period of being good.
It's a great organization. It's a great fan base. I mean, the fan base likes to bitch and complain a lot, but, you know, the Chicago Bears deserve the world. Or Bears fans deserve the world. That's real shit. So, God. The night game, I was so sure the Patriots were gonna win that.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, like, because we went and, you know, got some pizza and went to, you know, Dick's and got the NFC Champion shirt. So I didn't really even see any of this game. Like, it was on, you know, I was looking over, but, like, it was bad for most of it. And then, you know, the Colts had this massive comeback, which, again, I haven't seen it start to finish. I might watch it someday, though, just because it's an all-timer.
Yeah, that was one of the best football games I've ever seen. The Colts won 38-34 over the New England Patriots. The Pats were up 21-3 in the second quarter. Asante Samuel had a pick six off Peyton Manning. And then they eventually tied the game after Manning scored in a one-yard run and then threw a one-yard pass to Dan Klecko and hit the two-point conversion to tie it. They exchanged touchdowns. Joseph Addai ran in from 3 yards out. Marlon Jackson picked off Tom Brady, as the famous play call on the radio was noted, and they were going to the Super Bowl. So the Colts go to the Super Bowl for the first time since probably
70, I want to say.
Yeah, I want to say Super Bowl 5.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say.
Yeah.
This was big, obviously, because you know Peyton had lost in the playoffs a bunch, especially to New England, famously. In New England, kind of the reason that the passing rules changed because of one of those conference championship games or playoff games they had in Foxborough, where the Pats just kind of abused the Colts in Manning. And so this was an historic over the hump moment for Peyton.
Yeah.
Remind me real quick, what rule changed?
It had to do with, I think, the illegal contact rules. What I think were eventually softened after 04, if okay. I'm not mistaken. And I believe
because the Saints defenders were hugging a little bit too tight on the Colts receivers.
Yeah.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, it happened that sort of way, sort of that, you know, that path. Yeah. But yeah, so the Super Bowl matchup, Super Bowl 41 in Miami, will be Bears Colts.
There we go.
We'll also pick Tony Dungy against Lovie Smith. The first time that two black coaches will face each other in the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
which
I mean,
of course, gives way to this year when there are two black quarterbacks facing each other in Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very great to tie that back around historically. I guess in hindsight, all I can say is I really do wish it was New England. Not because the Bears would have won. Like, honestly, the Bears probably would have got smoked. We saw the Bears play the Patriots in week 14 or something like that.
Yeah.
Earlier in that season, and I saw Brian Urlacher get shook out of his pants by Tom Brady, so I didn't need to see that again to know the outcome. But does Tony Dungy really need a Super Bowl? Let's be real here. Knowing who Tony Dungy is, do we really think Tony Dungy needs to be a Super Bowl? Love Peyton. I love Peyton. Joseph Addai somehow is a Super Bowl champion, whatever. Harvin Marison. Congrats to Harvin. Reggie Wayne, underrated wide receiver, should be a Hall of Famer. Dwight Freeman is a champion. Bob Sanders, good for you, short guy. But I do not think that Tony Dungy deserves a ring.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate.
Rex Grossman, you ruined it for me, damn it. Okay.
All right. We can get to Raw from Lafayette, Louisiana this time. We open with an RIP graphic for Bam Bam Bigelow, who died at 45 of a drug overdose on January 19th. Yeah, real bummer. Obviously, he kind of had the first, like, big mainstream modern era WrestleMania main event with Lawrence Taylor. Yeah, just real shame. And, you know, go out of your way if you've never seen Bam Bam Bigelow stuff. He's got a lot of good stuff.
That's an underrated big dude who, like,
oh, yeah.
never got to, like, hold a big strap or anything like that. But one of the most recognizable wrestlers of the 90s, and he could work his ass off.
Mm-hmm. Shawn Michaels here to open the show. After last week, he's rejuvenated, wants to be WWE champion again, wants to win the Royal Rumble. Edge comes out and says that, you know, Shawn's not going to win the Rumble because Edge is, and then they start brawling, and they fight through the crowd and backstage area. Finally gets broken up, and they'll go their separate ways, but it's not over quite yet. Jeff Hardy's in action against Joey Mercury. Nitro Molina get ejected early on. Mercury's still wearing a mask from when Jeff broke his face with the ladder. But Jeff wins with the twist of fate, but we will see them wrestle again at the Royal Rumble. Vince says Shawn and Edge will be in a street fight later tonight, and then comes out and talks about Trump more. Cena comes out and says that Vince and Trump are similar because they're both egomaniacs, both shameless self-promoters, and things of that nature. Among other things, which, you know...
checks in that right column there.
Yeah.
Cena was spitting.
Coach agrees, and Vince books Cena against Coach for later. Super Crazy beats Chris Masters. Edge asks Randy if he's going to help him against Shawn this week, and Randy says he'll think about it since Edge kind of left him to get his ass beat last week against Shawn, and he sure did get his ass beat. His face is all messed up, and it's tough. Coach comes out, says there'll be a mini Royal Rumble right now, and the point will be to eliminate John Cena, and it's just a bunch of heels beating him up, and then Khali takes him out even more, and then Coach orders his match with Cena to get going, and Umaga comes out and puts Cena through a table. So Cena and Coach never really have a match, which, fine.
Kind of a heat angle for the pay-per-view.
Mickey and Candice defeat Victoria and Melina. Kenny defeats Carlito. Crime Time sell fake Royal Rumble numbers to Eugene and Super Crazy. It's very entertaining.
No disrespect. I know Kenny's young, but why are you pushing Kenny Dykstra over Carlito right now?
Yeah, that's not ideal. Did you hear he hurt his leg breaking up the Judgment Day thing at the Rumble?
Yes, that sucks.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
What happened?
He was breaking up the, like, Rhea and Beth and all the, you know, during the Men's Rumble when they kind of had that brawl. And Kenny,
is he working backstage now?
Yeah, he's an agent.
Yeah.
No so he was shit. Out there breaking it up, and I guess he blew something in his leg.
Yeah.
Oh, ouch, 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 ouch.
Yeah,
that
so.
Sucks.
And then we get to Michaels against Edge in a street fight. They're both in street clothes. And
the second time that they've had a street fight where they've done that.
Yeah. Sean's using his belt as a weapon, and he goes for crossbody, and Edge counters by hitting him right in the head with a trash can lid. So Sean's bleeding, and he superplexes Edge onto the ladder. Michael's going to do the concerto on Edge, but Randy hits an RKO out of nowhere on Sean. Edge pins him for the win, and then the whole roster comes out and brawls and throw each other over the top rope, and Sean ends up standing tall to end it. So really good closing segment, really good match. These two know how to do street fights quite well. They had another good one in 2005.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember this one vividly. Because Sean comes out for street fights like you're supposed to come out for street fights, and wanting to you know, get messy. Like, yo, this is supposed to be cute. Like, what the fuck are you doing when you're regular shit? Like, yo, we hit a scrap, we hit a box, we hit a fight. And I've always enjoyed Shawn Michaels' street fight matches. And Edge is just such a, you know, grimy person when you get him in some no DQ matches. So, yeah, that was a fun one to head into Royal Rumble and just, I guess, really just to get us going for Mania, because Sean's going to be the focal point. Even though he doesn't win the Rumble, Sean's going to be a focal point from here on out.
Yeah, exactly. So let me go to ECW from Mobile. RVD wins their over the top rope challenge. Monty Brown defeats a jobber. CM Punk beats Elijah Burke again, and Lashley beats Test, even though they're running that match back at the Rumble. So not really a whole bunch on ECW this week. Go to SmackDown, also in Mobile, from January 26th. Batista defeats Gregory Helms to open the show, so we'll tune up before the Rumble. Benoit beats The Miz. Deuce and Domino get another win against a couple jobbers. MVP tells Teddy Long that he's not going to face Kane tonight because he's got to rest up for the Rumble. Teddy Long says that if MVP does not face Kane, he won't be in the Rumble. Booker and Finlay fight to double countouts. They're kind of continuing their beef from earlier in the winter. Mercury, Nitro, and Melina defeat London, Kendrick, and Ashley. Kind of having London and Kendrick start to lose a bit, so they're probably going to drop the title soon. Mr. Kennedy's here. Last week he walked out of SmackDown having defeated The Undertaker yet again. Sunday at the Rumble, he's going to defeat Batista yet again. Kennedy's the fastest rising superstar in WWE history. Batista comes out and dares Kennedy to slap him right now like he did last week, but Kennedy won't do it. An Undertaker comes out and tries to kick Kennedy, but he ducks, and Batista gets kicked instead. So Batista and Undertaker have a little bit of beef right now. Kane beats MVP by disqualification because MVP hits him with a chair, and he's going to get gasoline, set him on fire like Kane did to him at Armageddon, but Kane chases him off. And then Undertaker gets the win in the over-the-top rope challenge, so he is one of the favorites heading into the Royal Rumble.
Very clear.
Yeah. We can get into the Royal Rumble here from San Antonio, Texas, the AT&T Center, the only one they've run in San Antonio that hasn't been.
What, three times?
Four times? It's been three in the Alamo Dome.
Oh, that's right, 97. So, yeah, four times. Holy shit. And three of them in the Alamo Dome.
Mm-hmm. So we start with Eminem against the Hardys. You know, just a really fun opener, kind of gets the people going. Crowd is really into it, and Jeff gets the win with a Swanton. We get Coach and Teddy Long kind of overseeing the numbers draw, so Orton and Edge come in, take their numbers, and still a little bit of tension between the two of them, so we'll see how that plays out throughout the night. Lashley beats Test to retain the ECW championship. Cena's getting checked out by the doctor. Vince comes in and asks if Cena wants just forfeit against Umaga, but you know, Cena turns that down. Vince says after tonight, John won't be champion anymore anyway, so it does not matter. Then we get Batista against Kennedy for the World Heavyweight Championship. It's not a bad match. It just kind of wasn't as good as I thought it would be. You know, Kennedy kind of put up a good fight, but Batista got the win, which, I mean, you knew that was going to happen, but like you would have liked a little bit more of a showcase for Kennedy here since they're really trying to push him, but they'll get back to that in a couple months and then it'll not work out yet again. And then they'll try it again. Yeah. You know, keep going back and forth. But really, you know, the thing that people remember from this show, John Cena against Umaga, last man standing match, the WWE Championship. And, you know, in terms of violence in a WWE match, especially, you know, post Attitude Era, we really haven't seen one like this up till then. I guess Shawn and Triple H from SummerSlam, but like these, that one and this one are really the two most like violent matches that you've seen kind of in that sort of setting. And it's kind of crazy what they got away with in Cena and Umaga, because like the finish obviously is just Cena choking him with the ring rope for 3 minutes. You know, Cena's bleeding quite a bit. Might still be the best Cena match. It definitely is the best match in his career up to this point, I think.
That's a good. I don't think it's his best match.
Yeah, the Punk match is probably better.
The Punk match, the Styles match at the Rumble. Yeah. Like he's had some hitters. The you know, he had some matches with Rollins, but
the triple threat
at
the Rumble was Lesnar and Rollins.
Right.
Awesome. Yeah.
So like he's had better matches since, but I do agree.
He's gonna have a fucking assortment of great matches in the next like 6 months, which is awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. This is probably his best match up to this point, but yeah, like
right. Getting Shawn and then Shawn again and on Raw.
Yeah.
The Fatal Four Way is the best Fatal Four Way in company history.
That's very good, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, so Cena's, I think 2007 is when like the narrative of you can't wrestle starts to die a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, like up until this point, he's clearly been earmarked as like, you know, the future, the guy. And folks have been rebelling at that up until this point. But matches like that against Umaga, you know, where he's willing to just get violent as hell to win a championship. Matches against Shawn, someone who's respected in this business, you know, or Orton later on in the year, went so long. And of course, we still dealt with those problems because of the internet. But they went so long to changing the narrative of John Cena from some dude who was just there because WWE wanted him to be and he couldn't wrestle to someone who, you know, became Big Match John in a way. Mm-hmm. This was what the first instance, I guess you could say, of Big Match John.
Yeah, and you know, really the whole story is like, you know, how is Cena gonna get this guy down for 10 seconds? And he did a really good job, I think, telling that throughout too, because like early on he's just kind of getting his ass beat and he's gotta resort to, you know, throwing the stairs at him and trying to do moves onto the stairs, and then, you know, again, choking him with the ring rope is not a finish that we'd seen up to that point. And it yeah, just an incredible match, and looking forward to what is coming for Cena. I know he gets hurt in October, I think. October, yeah. But yeah, a lot of good stuff coming up. So yeah, great match. Really, again, the one that people remember from this show.
Mm-hmm.
And then we move to the actual Royal Rumble itself, which another match that people rate very highly. I don't think it's even in the top five Rumble of all time. I think the finishing stretch is very good. You know, they have Undertaker and Shawn.
That's essentially why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have Undertaker and Shawn, you know, wrestle for, they got a good amount of time like they did Cody and Gunther last week. But it's the last or first time that Shawn and Undertaker have really locked up since
1996.
Yeah, since Shawn
but
left.
But if you listen to Jerry Lawler, he's never seen it before, which is the biggest lie I think I've heard him fucking say on TV.
I know.
Which all equally just was like, thank God we are not ignoring history.
Yeah, in hindsight, it's like, so, what do you do? Like, the Triple H Undertaker match at WrestleMania was billed as, like, the first time ever. It's like, well, they had one at WrestleMania before.
Right, 10 years you know? Ago.
Yeah, like, ignoring continuity shit, except in select cases, is just...
Yeah,
it's annoying.
But it's Vince McMahon's WWE, so thumbs the brakes. When it comes to like this Rumble, is it a Rumble that I ever go back and watch? No, there's so many other Rumbles that are fun that I care about, but I will always go and find the final four. This is an excellent. People talk about the final two, but the final four is excellent. Yeah. You know, it's rated RKO in there too. And they're healing like hell and picking apart Michaels and Taker.
Yes.
You know,
and it's cool because you have that history with Orton and Taker, and then eventually, you know, the foreshadowing of, oh, Edge and Taker are going to know each other real soon in a year.
Mm-hmm. And Orton and Michaels are going to know each other. Yeah. Even, I think, they've obviously had, you know, points when Orton was with Evolution, but they have some matches towards the end of 2007.
The Survivor Series match between Orton and Michaels.
Oh, my God. I bought that pay-per-view specifically for that match, and it didn't disappoint. It is a good main rumble. Never want to act like it's not a good rumble, but it really is those final four that make that, set it apart, that make this rumble. I can't tell you of a great surprise.
With having ECW, I don't think they had any surprises.
Right, because you had a full roster.
Yeah, this is a surpriseless rumble, to be honest.
Yeah.
Everybody's from the active roster.
Undertaker became the first person to win from 30, which is kind of surprising, I guess, that it took him 20 years to do that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Edge is the Iron Man.
Happened to be the Undertaker.
Yeah.
Yep.
Again, it's not bad. Like, they did what you should do in a rumble. They picked, you know, four or five guys to really focus on, and everyone else was just kind of set pieces.
And if you look at the six people who got at least 20 minutes in the rumble.
Yeah.
Shelton, Michaels, Orton, Punk, who almost lasted 30 minutes. He lasted 27:16. Finlay, who got 32:32, and then Edge, who lasted 44 minutes and 2 seconds.
Yeah.
At least you pick good Irish.
Right.
Yeah, again.
So they missed your two. That's what matters. That's the difference between doing this and doing something like with 2019, where you started with Lacey and Natalya.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, no disrespect.
No, I don't think it's bad. A lot of people have called it like the best rumble of all time.
That's crazy.
That's subjective, but
it's
like
one of the best.
Honestly, I've never heard that. Point me to the direction of who's saying that, so I can ask how many wrestling matches have you seen in your lifetime?
It's the, if you go on Cage Match and just look at the Rumbles, it's the highest rated one. It's got like a 9 out of 10. And
wow.
I think 92 was better. 2001 was better.
2002 was better.
2004 is probably better.
The one 2008
better.
Is better.
Yeah.
08's one of those fantastic because there's so much storytelling that goes into it. They start off with Michaels and Taker after ending with Michaels and Taker.
Right.
There's a great array of surprises before this big surprise.
Both Cena and Umaga and the Rumble match got 4 stars in the Observer, so they were equal matches. You know,
that
according
is,
to data.
That is crazy to me.
I know
that ending sequence is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess, and this is to a point that we noted when we were talking about the 2023 Rumble. Were there any bad eliminations here?
No, not really. Like,
the only person who I see on here who
Kali eliminated Punk, but that was just a clear out spot.
Carlito gets 3 minutes and 19 seconds after being one of the most over acts in the company the last 3 years. I don't understand that.
Yeah,
I haven't understood a single thing they've done with Carlito in like a year.
And Jeff Hardy,
he should have been in Money in the Bank the year before.
Jeff Hardy got thrown out earlier, but he had a match the same.
He had a match earlier. I mean, of the people who didn't even get like any eliminations, The Miz, Sandman, Carlito, Masters, Jeff Hardy, Kenny Dykstra, Super Crazy, Sabu, Ric Flair, and Viscera, and Chavo Guerrero, Tommy Dreamer, Helms, and MVP. MVP could have used an elimination.
Yeah, that's fair.
There's one. But he lasted 7 minutes. He was eliminated by the end.
Yeah. So again, it's not a bad rumble. I just don't love it as much as everyone else does. But
I was going to say, do you think that means that people think that this is just an all-time great rumble, or that the sheer amount of great rumbles that there have been is pretty thin?
I think it's hard to call it an all-time great rumble when it's not the best match on the show.
Also very true.
1992, it's the best match on the show. You know, 2001, it's arguably the best match on the show.
I would say 2020, it's the best match on the show.
Yeah, exactly.
I would
This year, it was probably the best match on the show.
I would say
you know, again, it's not bad. It's just it has those limitations. But overall, for what it is, it's fine. And Undertaker winning is cool, too, just because you know, he's gonna get a run as a top guy again.
Yeah, and they're gonna tease the match that I wanted just as much as I want Bailey Becky this year, the night after.
Yeah.
When Taker shows up on Raw for the first time in like 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Which is another great thing about them doing, you know, the split in the fashion that they did, because things like that would be special.
Yeah. But yeah, that was the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, that was the Royal Rumble.
Cena or Taker?
Cena had
an historic, but to be fair, Taker did achieve an historic achievement.
He came out 30, though.
But that's the point.
Yeah.
First time.
He wasn't in there for a long time.
But listen, nobody's ever been in there a long time. That didn't stop anybody from not winning.
Yeah, it'll go with The Undertaker.
Rhea Ripley's not impressed. All right, and run. Congratulations, Taker. Let's get up out of here. We'll be back later. We'll talk about the beginning of February. We will talk about whatever we're happening here. We're on the road to what? Elimination Chamber. That's like in 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, it's 2 weeks from yesterday.
Holy shit, that's insane! It's on a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I am so not used to these Saturday pay-per-views.
Yeah, that it seems like everything except Mania is going to be on Saturday now.
Right, and that's 2 days. So
yeah,
that's going to be they're bolting to Montreal. All right, should be fun though. So we'll talk about the road to Montreal. We'll talk about 2007. You know, we definitely won't be actually no, we're doing Saturday, right? So this should be up by Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah.
All right. I am at Cameron Santo. Rob's at RobinO31. Chris is at Chris M. Novak. At BarbershareNet on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook.com/BarbershareDigital. Patreon.com/TheBarbershareNetwork. TheBCNet.com is where you can head to our website and you can find all of our podcasts, everything from Baldo Lie to Summer Sessions. New episodes, Random Acts Podcast, and of course, back orders episodes of this show. Back to talk more wrestling later on in this month. Have a good rest of your weekend. This has been Ruthless Aggression. We'll see you guys later.